Wait a minute. She don't just sit back there in the closet and type and work on stuff. She
That's the biggest metaphor for my life. Oh, Del means not in the closet. No, she just works in the closet. Hi everyone, my name is Delmi, and if you want to check out my comedy, you can visit on Instagram, TV, What I Didn't Like, that's all one word and spelled correctly, and you can also check out other material and posts on The Only Delmi on Instagram, and Tell Me Delmi on Twitter, that's where I...
Years have become like weeks now, which is one of the weirdest things as you get older. And I was talking to a bunch of people that I know from DePaul, and I'm like, wow, it's been 15 years. It's been 12 years. It's been, and that is a little, I mean, it's surreal, but yeah. You know, at the same time, there have been some things that have changed that kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is what we are now. Like, for example, we're able to just do a podcast this way. I mean, this is something that
crazy.
Can you, like, all the interviews and stuff, you know how easy life would have been this way? Like,
oh my gosh. Do you remember losing people in the room? Like, you would have an artist there, you would set up, like, you would, like, when I would see that DJs would really, really, really care is when they would show up before their shift to set shit up.
Yeah.
To set shit up. And especially once people started getting momentum and once people started getting like interviews and booking rooms and like booking the other room that was, you know what I mean? Once things got bigger, like something like this, like just like this, you just sending a link and clicking it. Bull. I feel like we would have been watching the wheel form or some shit. Like we would have been like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. It were cords on cords on cords and lots of timing. And you needed help, like you needed a team. Like it was rare that you could put this together as one person. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've always been like a lone wolf too, where you operate solo. And I recognize that because I do that too, you know. And it's frustrating. It was frustrating at the time because you wanted to work solo and move faster and move at your own speed, but you were limited due to time. And now this is fucking awesome.
The only reason I ever got a co-host was because it got to a point where I needed one, because I got so used to doing everything by myself. And then toward the end, I was like, that's only the last year that I needed a co-host. And so Abby came in, and most of it was because I couldn't keep up with the side computer, logging everything and being on Twitter and communicating that way and doing this. I was just like, okay.
Do you remember selling Twitter? Do you remember selling Twitter to people?
I remember, there's so many different things that happened because at first it just seemed like, no, people were like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing it. And then it became
well, automatically, automatically. It was no, it was no. Yeah. Automatic. No, no. People just were just like, no.
Then we start seeing results from it. And as we start seeing results, I think that's when people started getting on board. And then it was weird because then we came back the next year and it was like, okay, now it's mandatory that everybody use Twitter while they're on the stage. I'm like, what?
I remember telling Scott about Twitter and I knew I had to be economical with my words.
Yeah.
You kind of always had to be. You always had to be with him because he was just like the attention span, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the radio thing too. Most radio guys are like, bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? Because time is everything on radio. And I remember telling him, and he's like, and he didn't say anything. And I was just like, it's free. Oh, okay. And I'm like, all right. You know, that's all he needed to know. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. He was like, okay. You know, because the setup was, there was one computer, and that was the quote-unquote new computer. Because I came, when I came in, you guys were what, a year into the new studio, right?
Sounds right.
A year or two into the new studio, and everything that was quote unquote new was still kind of old because we had one computer that ran all the music.
Yep.
And then we had walls of CDs, and there was still vinyl around because I remember I had vinyl in my, can we even call my office an office? Should we call it a closet?
Yeah,
I had a closet. I made it work, though.
Yeah, it was cool. You always had somebody. It was never just you in there either. It was always one other person or somebody or a meeting or something. And I'm like, hey.
I didn't even know. Yeah, half the time they were like the meeting would start, and I'm like, would you guys? You want me to leave the room? Would you? Is this even a room? Is he, it feels weird coming out of. You know what I mean? It was such tight quarters, like.
Yeah.
Beyond, like, oh my gosh, it was like working in an elevator. That's what it was like in that office.
That's actually
it
a
was
pretty
like work.
Good. That's a
yeah.
Pretty
it was, and I made it work because I'm coming from the south side of Chicago. Like we're known for not having doors in our rooms. Like it's just so tight, you know. But yeah, you guys had one computer with all the music, and when I came in, I shit you not, I told Scott that makes me nervous. He was like, why? And I was like, because if that shit goes down, you're fucked, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when we started the whole backup thing. You know, we have to back this shit up. Remember that?
Yeah. I remember the process of logging songs and adding everything in and the old way.
You were awesome at it. You were one of the few that actually did it, Wes.
I got
you know
so,
that, right?
I got so irritated by it. It's because it was, again, things weren't tagged yet. We weren't at that point where music was like MP3s were a thing only because it took up less space. So physically tag, like you had to manually go in and tag everything. And that just wasn't, it was just wild time consuming. That was all. But
do you remember this? I remember how frustrated you would get at, I think you would get frustrated. Who else would get frustrated? Matt was DOA when I got there, so he didn't care anymore.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think he did at one point. Where I remember you getting so pissed that there were like maybe 30, 40 extra titles that were put in. So this is like putting in CDs in a jukebox, the equivalent of it,
yeah.
And then not putting what the CDs really are, just putting the titles of them on there. And they were like the genre was blank. It was sometimes just a song name that was in there. And I think I remember you or someone just flipping their shit over being like, this is the laziest thing. This is why blah, blah, blah. I'm here on a Saturday afternoon putting in all these stacks of CDs. And I just remember being like, whoa, let them have a moment. Let them have
you manually tag everything. If you left, so you wrote the number that it was system, and then you wrote all the information in the tag. But if for whatever reason you went out of order or you skipped a number or something, everything after that number didn't work. So
yeah,
I would have to come in every so often, probably about once a month, I'd have to come in and go back and look for one number out of thousands of numbers. I had to go find one number that was off by like one or, and then hopefully it was just that, because then if not, then you got to go back and correct every single one behind it. And
this is like a digital, if that's a luxurious word to apply to it, by the way,
yeah,
like a digital,
wasn't quite
a digital, no, like a digital Dewey Decimal
yeah.
type of organizing system
it was
that we had
for music. That, yeah. That's
yeah.
pretty good. Yeah. It sucked. It was great at the time. It was innovative, but it sucked like to do on the back end. The finished product was great.
And it was something that was like, if we had had a chore chart or something, ideally every DJ should be looking at new music or listening to new music and adding quality to the list. Like you weren't adding the entire CD.
Right.
That's why you would put it on the wall. And then on the wall, people could, you know, pick the songs, or they'd already be in the system because they'd be reviewed. But the way to put it in, it's like you almost even put it into this giant calculator label maker looking thing. It was the most uneasy process of life.
Yeah.
And I admired the process of it, and I felt like such a lazy fuck too, because I would try to keep up with it too, and it could have just stayed that way. And when I would see people add new stuff to it, it would motivate me to do it, because you could just leave it that way, but it meant like people weren't even adding new music, and it meant people weren't like trying, and it meant like it was harder for new music to get out there. So I admired that. But I was the person who would add new sound effects, so like the new honk honks. It wasn't as meaningful as music, but I was the person who added like new sound effects as much as possible.
When I figured out how to use the sound effects bank, when I realized like how to do that and walk through it, and I created my own bank in there, and the what probably my biggest regret is in uploading all of that stuff. This just between when I got an external hard drive and like when I loaded all that stuff, all of my drops, like all of my celebrity drops, were in there. So they're still in that system. Otherwise, I have no, they're gone. Like I lost all of
What?
them. And
Wait. Now you're motivating me to look through all my old radio stuff. Like, I took so much of my old radio CDs. Remember when I had the idea to have just saying it out loud now, like I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, remember when I had the idea of like organizing 100 of you guys and creating show promos? Like,
oh
I was
yeah.
like, I'm gonna create custom show promos, and you guys are gonna come in and just record. Give me two options, 15 seconds each. Boom, boom, boom. The show before you will play yours, and so on and so forth. And then, like, three of you showed up.
Went through because the guy before me was Augie, and
I remember Augie. I remember
he
Augie.
used to just shout me out before he went off the air, and I would come in.
Yeah, I remember Augie. Augie, he was like a rocker guy.
Cool guy, but that actually.
I always appreciated when people did that. Like, now that I do stand-up comedy, it's kind of like when you introduce the person before you. Like, usually a host does that. You know what I mean? But like, it does work kind of like that in the same way, where like the person before you kind of warms up the seat, and you hear that in regular radio all the time, you know? And that's what I was trying to foster. But that's what the kind of like attitude that I came in, where I was like, oh my gosh, we could get this, we could get that. I came in with like appetite as big as my eyes, you know what I mean? Independent thoughts. I think we're soft as a society. I'm soft as a person, physically and mentally. But that's all right. I think that we should all go to an open mic at least once, so we can at least stop saying, I bet I could do that. And it'll be good for us, good for our ego. So once Rona stops fucking with us, go to an open mic. And this is the thing. This is the thing, and that I always like. I don't give a fuck. End days. This is one of the things I liked about you, was that you took the A&R approach to radio, which was dying. You know what I mean? Like, there's I don't A&R is lost. You know what I mean? In my
Now everybody
opinion,
can be one.
you know, because it's almost like the. I guess it's because he's fresh on my mind. It's almost like the Bernie Sanders of roles in radio. You know what I mean? Like the A&R rep, the A&R person is really important, because that person is there, like the ear. It has to be just purely the ear. It can't be like, you can't give a shit about who he is. You just have to give a shit about the sound. I mean, the lyrics if you want, right? Because some just go based on sound. You know,
It's Bernie's a good that's sitting on my mind too, because there's a lot of things I think I relate to with Bernie Sanders. I really don't think people really understand what's happening or what he's talking about or the repercussions of not going that direction. I think people won't get it till it's like obviously until it's too late, and then it's like, oh man, we actually want that. I want what he was talking about.
And you can still, that was my thing. Like, I was trying to have a soft approach with it because we're living in sensitive times and it's understandable. But I was also like, when people were like, I give up or hope is over or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you weren't listening to him at all. Like, you weren't listening. This wasn't about him. Even he said, this, my campaigns were never about me. Like, this is when people talk about quitting or not having hope or like now it's over because he's out. I basically just want to tell him, like, he would be so disappointed at you right now. Like, he wouldn't be, because I feel like he's a good dude who would never be like, I'm disappointed in you. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he wouldn't say that, but he would just be like, you know, think about it. It wasn't about him at all. And if you make it about like your hope dying, because he even said it, his campaign is suspended because it's not it's a moment. This is momentum. And if we quit, like, I was thinking about it in such a horrible way the other day, where I was like, yo, this guy has fought for generations for equality, for equality. I'm like, there are some times when I'm standing in line and I'm like, could you breathe any louder? Gosh. And you know what I mean? Where I'm just like, I'm gonna fight for everyone but them, right here, right now. I'm not this person, not that person. And Bernie Sanders was for generations. He lived through the dumbest generations of time. He went through Y2K and he could still look us in the eyes and say, I love you guys. I can't even say that. I can't even say that right now. Like, right now, if you were to say, tell me, would you fight for your generation? I would be like, which ones? Which ones? I don't, you gotta be real specific. You know what I mean? People are coming out of this like, I wanna hug everyone. And I'm like, bitch, this has made me even more selective. Even more selective. No, but like Bernie should be a vibe. And I know I sound stone like stonery as fuck saying is that, but he it's a way of being, you know what I mean? Like, his equality is not a Bernie Sanders thing, and he never made it a Bernie Sanders thing. Meanwhile, this guy's over here like, why isn't anyone talking about my ratings? I'm beating Super Bowl ratings, because guess what? We can't go anywhere. You know what I mean? Of course you have all the ratings. You're also going to have May sweeps. Guess, you know what I mean? I'm not predicting the future. What does this guy think? You know? If this lasts a long time, certain contact crimes, like let's say gangs, are going to need to be revamped, right? Like, we're gonna need to throw hands without catching hands. And earlier today, I was talking about Corona. Like, what did the gang meetings look like when they first heard of Corona? Like, I can imagine them being like, hey man, we heard there's this bitch called Corona on the streets. Who's that? Who is she with? We don't know what gang she's in. She likes to take out grandmas. What? Yeah, man, the untouchables, the grandmas. Corona goes for them first. Goes for grandmas and goes for moms. Oh, no way. Yeah, so we're pulling everyone off the streets. And then I talk about how gangs have a better approach to their employees and how their healthcare is so much better than mine was when I was working at a hospital. I will say that after Corona, like immediately after, I'm not saying when we go back to our old ways, but immediately after, we're going to be entering a whole new clean dick era, ladies and gentlemen, if that floats your boat, because we're progressive people. It's true. People are finally going to be freshly showered, the cleanest things will ever be, but also you are going to have to ask, when were you last tested? And no, I don't mean STDs, but also STDs. Just saying, don't. There's some people who all of a sudden are disregarding regular STDs, and they're just like, when did you last wash your hands? And I'm like, you should ask other questions too. I'm just saying, don't stop asking the regular questions.
So when you're playing, or not playing, but like when you're doing material, if you do it on, you do it online, or if you do it in a, you know, an open mic forum, are you working towards, you know, are you trying stuff out with your audience in mind, followers in mind? do you think of something that's like, oh, this is funny? Well, I think it's funny, but do they think it's funny? Do you ever put something like, oh man, that's hilarious, and then people are like, eh?
All the time. No, I'm kidding. That would be the most egotistical thing. Like, I'm just like, I am constantly spewing out gold, Wes, and it just dies. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's all of the above, because it's, for me, it's about reach. And if I can, like, it's about reaching the most people with quality content, if that's not a cocky thing to say, because I do my redrafts and my rewrites and, like, all that's done behind the scenes. And then I'll either tweet it, or I try to have all my platforms connected. So that way I'm investing little time, little energy with hopefully max reward, you know, and it's sometimes feels like I'm just like, you know, throwing spaghetti to a wall, but like one of them's got to stick. And the reason why I say quality is because I was having this conversation with someone earlier, two different types of conversations, same type of message, where they were saying, like, you post a lot of material or, like, content. You should save it for this or save it for that. And I'm like, I don't know if this is my depressed mind or what. I'm like, there's no time. There's no time. There's no time. Like, your tweet could go viral, or your material. I mean, what are the odds of you even getting spotted these days or scouted these days? Those are one in a million. And now that there's no mics, like, no physical mics, it's like more, in my sense, since I've been doing it for a while digitally, it's validating to have a space for it already. But if I didn't have it, like if someone's thinking about creating it, like now's the time. I know I said it, it came off like, I was trying to not have it come off in poor taste in our conversation, but I feel like you and I know each other just by default, you know, by years, where I was like, this is like the shittiest Super Bowl possible. It's the shittiest Super Bowl, because, and all of us have free ad space right now. Reluctantly, everyone's online. Everyone's home. Everyone's consuming. Like the other day, I had an interaction. One of my tweets that I tweeted to, I don't know if you saw the tweet back that I got on I feel like maybe 2 days ago, on one of my tweets, and one of my friends was like, oh, it's going to blow up. And I'm like, yeah, the tweet blows up, but what I'm looking at is how many people are looking at my profile now. You know what I mean? And if I see traffic's coming into my profile, then that's when, you know how you were saying, like, do you listen to the room? Do you create a joke with people in mind? I'm like, that's when you do all of the above. That's when it's like, all right, shit's a little political. I'm not political, and it's not that I force myself to be political, but I'll scroll through news headlines and I'm like, I approach it from my eyes, where I'm like, yo, why does Pence get to go to work looking blasted? You know, like, that's my approach to it. Like, it's not smart. It's not like you're like, she's well-read. You know what I mean? You're not thinking that. It's more like, this is my narration of what's going on. And then when it comes to fun, that's like constantly, I think that's what my mind's just thinking of, like, oh, that's funny, or this is fun, or this is weird, this is that, you know, like, and that's what I've been doing with my other Instagram, which is my daily drag video, which is where, since I finally get to come out stoner now, since I don't work in healthcare, I have a daily drag video where I take a daily drag, usually of my bong, and I talk about something that's a drag. The other day I talked about the people who are like obsessed with being cloned, or like someone's going to take over their body. I'm like, they're just such a drag, because I'm like, they're so audacious. First of all, don't you think they would go for world-class athletes before you, Steve? Correct. Come on.
Yeah.
the government does, or like people are like, they want to control my mind. I'm like, it was really mean. I'm like, you should control your appetite. And I'm saying the same thing, because I can't control mine. I can't control mine. I'm just saying, why would they want our minds? Did they run out of geniuses? Do they need more people that consume, I don't know, TLC and unreliable sources? Did they run out of those? I'm one of those. They don't need my brain.
The conspiracy theories are flying wild these days, for all kinds of easily disproven things.
Here's my thing. But this is why this is why egos get bruised, but people are sensitive. Here's my thing, Wes. Let's be honest with ourselves when we start saying these very audacious things where it's like, the government wants my mind. I'm like, has the government heard your mouth? No, it doesn't. No, it fucking doesn't. What are you going to solve? The government hears you. The government's not like, look at him. He solves cancer. Did you hear his approach? Did you hear how he said, faint it? Yeah, genius right there. No, no one wants that. You know, like, I feel like if we're a little bit more honest with where we land intelligently, physically, mentally, like, then we'd be like, hey, which one of my fears are real?
Well, but how much of that do you think is a factor of reality culture, right? Because anybody now, like, you used to, up until 2001, you really had to be talented. And now you don't have to be talented. You just have to be there.
Why? Is that when Kim Kardashian's tape dropped or what?
That was later, but she was... There's definitely peaks within the era, but like, I think the 9/11 era coincides with what I call reality culture, and that reality movement really, like, you know, there was low key reality shows, Real World, Road Rules, Real World versus Road Rules, Big Brother. There was some, but it really wasn't a thing until about 01, 02. And then I remember sitting in the dorms, my on-campus apartment, when Bad Girls Club started, watching Bad Girls Club, because it's a chick that went to UIC that was in Bad Girls Club, season one or two. And then it was just like, because a couple of my friends knew her, and I guess she had came to some of the parties I did, and I don't know her, but she was there. And I'm like, okay, she looked familiar, you know, but I couldn't say anything else other than she looked familiar. But yeah, so I started watching Bad Girls Club, and then after that, I feel like the Girls Next Door, and then everybody had a show after that, Paris and Nicole, which really they were the original Kardashians. Yeah. And then the Kardashians, of course, and then but now it's just commonplace because that was the thing, like everybody had to write. You had all these really good TV writers, and they had funny jokes, and then that was just dead. It just was over. And then really in the last 5 to 7 years, they've brought back really good TV writing, not necessarily in comedy. There are some good comedy writers too. What are people watching? They're watching, you know, the dramas, the action, and that's been incredible. But the comedy, there's only a couple of shows that people probably all agree are pretty funny. Like, you know, when we were younger, even I personally didn't like Seinfeld, but pretty much everybody loved Seinfeld. So Seinfeld was one of the shows that everybody can like, oh, that's funny.
It was undeniable. There were more undeniable options. Like even if people didn't grow up watching Living Color, Friends. Yeah. Dude, even soap operas people recognize, you know what I mean? People knew what the fuck they were. You know, we grew up in a different era of television. But I feel, and I was working on a bit the other day where I'm like, if this goes on long enough, we're going to have to see a whole new era of television. And that might be the most privileged thought I've had to date. You know what I mean? The luxury of having a dumb thought like that, where I'm like, television's going to look really different. And I was thinking in the spectrum of reality TV, because I've been working on material where I'm like, there's certain things that you have to use your hands for when it comes to TV. Like, could you imagine reality TV without throwing hands? So then I was like, reality TV writers, I'm like, they're going to have to employ comedy writers even more now, because they're going to have to get vicious. Like, I was working on a bit. I don't know if you're familiar with Mob Wives.
No.
It's like it was a reality TV show based on that. Like someone asked me, like, what's Mob Wives about? And I'm like, exactly what it says it is. Like
Right.
reality TV is beautiful in the sense that it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like Jersey Shore is exactly about the Jersey Shore. You know what I mean? So like I told him, I'm like, yo, they're gonna have to, like, if this goes on long enough and reality TV is gonna be like the first thing, it's gonna be the first essential worker to come back to TV. Because they're gonna be the thirstiest ones, you know, like what's it gonna look like? Like, are they just gonna verbally assault each other? Are they gonna have to put gloves on when they flip a table? Are they gonna have to sanitize the table? Like, how do they even cheat on their spouses now? Like, it's really a risk. Like, are they gonna
Everybody got to
have to
get
wait?
tested.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like, everyone's gotta get all sorts of tests, you know? It's, yeah. I don't
Yeah,
know.
there's so much to the to like I don't know, like so the moment that we're in is where everybody can they have time now. The one excuse that prevailed for everybody was there's no time. And now there's tons of time
Is there
to
though? That's my thing. That's my thing was, is there though? Because I don't want my you know, depression to show again. I mean, not something I do a great job at hiding it anyway. You really shouldn't. But it's, do we though? Because when people are like, we have so much time, and I'm like, this is the one thing that I really, really did walk away from with all this corona and working at a hospital and everything. I'm not suicidal, and I really, really want to live, because I'm like, if I didn't, think about it. All I had to do was go lick an elevator button and then go out like Bugs Bunny. I would have died like Bugs Bunny, getting all the attention that people think suicidal people want. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, of course I died sick. Oh my gosh, I'm so funny and young. Look at me dying with all my eggs. I'm only 33. Yes, I am 33. I do look young for my age. Thank you so much. You know what I mean? Like, I wanna live, man. Like, I don't understand when people are like, we have all of this time, and I'm like, do we though? Do we? I feel like I'm that one stoner person who's just like, do we, man? Do we really have all the time, man? I don't think we do.
I think in the context of I'm not rushed with work now. I don't have to perform for someone else now. Now I can put if I want to do it, like you said, you're your own boss, regardless of how much you're paying you become your own boss.
Yeah,
So
she
and
owes
with
me.
yeah, man, I owe me too. You ain't never lied there. It's about how much effort can I put into and dedicate to something that now people probably have more of the effort that or feel like they got more of the effort that they can do it. And so you see a lot of new things popping up or people trying different things. And for people who have been doing it, like I was trying to explain that to somebody before. I said, oh, you have a podcast. And I'm like, yeah, but. And they're like, yeah, I listen to podcasts all the time. And I'm like, okay, but that's not. No, here's some of my favorite podcasts. And they keep going, and I'm still thinking like, yo, I've had a podcast before it was called a podcast. Like,
Yeah, you kind of always had a podcast if you think about it. You kind of always, you.
I used to take the radio shows
Yeah.
when they were finished and put them on my blog and get them up there. And I'm like, that was a podcast. I've been doing this since before it was a thought that those were called. Before there were pods, I was doing it. So how could it have been a podcast? Now it's a podcast because everybody does it. And I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah, it's true. You were podcasting before there were even pods, before pods were even like a thought. You're right.
So then how for people like that who have been involved in one era or whatever, like how do you stand out in an era where, other than just be best, just not even be better, just be best, than all the other content out there? Like, how do you stand out in a way that people will go, okay, you know what? I see this and I accept that it's good. It's
I
good
think
enough.
it depends if you're going to attach what you're doing to that. I don't know how, because I don't attach it like that. Like, I don't approach it like that. Like, I feel like I've been doing it for a while, and I don't have the numbers to back it. You know what I mean? If we're looking at it from the numbers approach, like I don't have 10,000 followers. I don't have that. And people equate time with numbers. And for me, it's always been about fostering connection and community. You know, like I have connections with people on Twitter where it's like we send each other Christmas cards, or like now during Corona, it's like I sent a birthday video to like a friend that I made on there like maybe 8 years ago to like his kid who had a birthday and it was at home. And then it was like, oh, my kid's not going to be in school. And I was like, I guess not a funny video. You know what I mean? Like it's
Nice.
for me, it's always been that approach, but it also hasn't been as noble as that either, where I'm like, Like it is nice to connect at a bigger, on a bigger reach. So for me, it's always been like reach-wise, but doing it and now having this influx of people who are also doing it, I feel like that this is the perfect time to detach competing with others and even competing with self. Like I feel like this is the time where you can really assess why you're doing it and find that space within yourself to be like creative. I don't know why I keep always want to keep calling it like the Dave Chappelle space because Neil Brennan, I love how they talk about each other. You know what I mean? Like how they describe each other. And Neil talks about working with Dave, like how Dave was exhausting to keep up with the work and it was exhausting to keep up with Dave. And to me, this is the perfect time for you to find what exhausts you in the way that exhausts Dave Chappelle. You know what I mean? Like for him, it's what he does, right? That's his space. Like that's what like he doesn't even sleep. You know what I mean? That's what drives him. And it doesn't have to be that intense, but if you've been doing it a while and this influx is getting to you or it's irritating you or it's like or you're just trying to figure out quote unquote how to keep up, that's fine. That's legit. Those are legit reasons. But it's also a great time to look not just outward but inward and reassess why you're doing it. You know what I mean? If these new people and outside things are affecting you that much and you're just trying to keep up, like I don't know. For me, it changed once I started using it as just a creative platform. Like I started enjoying the fuck out of it. Like I'm not looking at numbers. Numbers are great, but they're just a perk.
Well, no. So when you're getting, I guess when you want to make a living off of it, right?
Yeah.
There comes a point where they equate it to numbers because that's when you have sponsors. They're gonna look at, well, what are your numbers that you're pulling? And that's what, you're gonna make money off ad revenue. We're basically all TV channels now. That's what if when you post any sort of content, you basically have your own channel, and you can link all your channels or all your different content or different aspects of life through your different channels, one being Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever you use, like all that stuff is your different channel, and it all comes through one feed. And there's even now social medias like video sites that link all of your video sites together, all your videos together. So now you just need one thing, it's just one stream. I think it's called Restream. But there's other ones that it's just like, okay, this is just your one portal to this person.
Cool.
So basically everybody, like everything's for sale. Everybody is on all the time. And so to at some point numbers become important where it's like, okay, look, I gotta prove that people pay attention and are looking at it. Is there a like what gets you a satisfaction when you say like building community and things like that, it's not just numbers. But if
See,
you were to
numbers are important though, Wes. I do want like it my thing is my driving force can't for me, it can't be the numbers. Like I can't be disappointed if I don't get a certain number of views on something. Like that's not what numbers are about for me. Like for me, I approach numbers like in a smart way where I'm like, if I've done everything I can by applying the hashtags that I know are trending right now that are applicable to me. the times that I know have the most traffic, the content. If I know I've done everything possible to maximize my reach, I gotta let it go. You know what I mean? I just gotta let the content fly on its own. That's what I mean.
Do you ever? I'm trying to think of how to phrase. Cause I do you ever look at hashtags? Like, do you ever click and just see?
Like look into trend, like what's trending, or
yeah,
I do. I just had a post on it. It's funny. I had a post on it yesterday on my Instagram where I was saying that I'm getting back to soft tracking, which is what I like to call what I do with my tracking, since I don't like to be so like hyper aware of it. Not hyper, like hyper vigilant of it. Is that I look up trending. This is a good tip too, by the way. Like I look up trending hashtags on Instagram or trending hashtags on Twitter, then I apply the ones that are, you know what I mean, that work for it, because you also don't want to apply like coronavirus to your weird stepdad joke or whatever you're doing. Yeah. Like you're like, really? Did you bring me here for this? Like, you'll get a view, but it's pointless. Right. And I tagged a picture where I had used a picture that had 100 views. And 51 views came from hashtags. So I was showing the importance of, I wouldn't have reached half of those people if I hadn't used my hashtags in a smart way. So there are like little things that I do, because I'm like, yeah, I did go to school for advertising, but it's tricky because I know how obsessive I can get with things where I don't want to take the fun out of it. So that's why I said, I'm like, I try to move as smart as possible, and then I just let it go. Ladies, gentlemen, I don't typically like to play these gender roles, but here's the reason why. Doggy style can be your favorite position, ladies, right? But it can't be your favorite position, guys. Here's why, right? Because women, you're like, oh, it hits all these sensory parts, blah, blah, blah. It's great, right? For you, that's your perk. That's great. I'm proud of you. Great for you. But for guys, what does it say when you're like, my favorite position is doggy style? That says you don't want to look me in the face. That's all that one says, because your neurons aren't going off, Jimmy. All right, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm fucking saying. So it can be your favorite position, ladies, but not your favorite position, Jimmy.
There are so many different ways now that people are constantly looking at how to get in, how to get, placement all the time. When you're doing videos and stuff, that's something to consider, that people will be like, whether it be product placement or what are you going to wear?
Yeah, but think about it now, though. Like, I feel this is why it's important, and I'm not putting any pressure on people either, because I know it's, like I said, a sensitive time, and I know some people are like, well, we shouldn't push productivity on people, and it's like, well, people are going to feel pushed, they're going to feel triggered if they want to feel it, you know what I mean? So this is why I say, like, this is not a time to wait, because yes, product placement, yes, numbers, but we're in a time too where it's like things are about to change in advertising. Things are about to change in everything, in TV and film. Like, I was just thinking the other day, I was like, what are the movies gonna be like? You know what I mean? Like, if we don't, I'm not gonna divert into my COVID theories that I have, but I'm like, if we don't have get a COVID cleaner out there and start Lysoling, for real, like, this, people keep talking about the vaccine, and I'm like, let's think bigger picture. Even if we get the vaccine, first of all, do you want the first round of it? Second of all, do you think you'll be able to afford it? Third, do you think your insurance will cover it?
Yeah.
We're screwed socially until we start cleaning up physically out there. Yeah. So I was thinking about the movies, and I'm like, think of all the money, because it's always about money. But like, think of all the money that Hollywood is hemorrhaging right now. Like, no one's at the movie theaters.
Right.
like TV wise, but people also have to see it as I know it sounds cynical, but when it comes to advertising, when it comes to especially content creating, right now it's about the playing field is about to level up, especially with things like TikTok. You have just as easy of a probability of your things going viral than Chrissy Teigen stuff going viral. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. She has crazy reach.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the social media OGs.
Yes.
And based on content, based on timing, a person could go viral and their life could change in a second, or you could just make a new connection. The playing field is about to be leveled out, I think. Just predicting based on, like, if we can't go to the movies, if everything's about to change. If we thought magazine and print was dying before, no one wants to touch anything now.
Everything's
about to change. So that's why I say right now is the perfect time not to wait and to keep the conveyor belt of creativity going. You know what I mean? And if it's not going, find out why. Find out why it's stuck. You know, like, that's what I say.
For somebody who battles depression and is pretty open about it, you don't seem to have a problem. Like, you get going.
Not always, man. Not always. Like even a few days ago, like, I struggled getting out of bed, and like that was half of a lot of the struggle. Having a 9-to-5 was having those moments at 4 a.m. because I would start work at 5:30. At 4 a.m. And like, I know those memes are funny where it's like sitting at the edge of your bed and debating, like, you know, if you want to throw your life away. But like when you're depressed, like you have to, and you need that. There are some people who stay home. You know what I mean? Like, it does get bad sometimes like that where you take a day. But I think my outward dialogue has to be this way, because if not, if it matches the inner dialogue that goes on sometimes, like, no, it would be like Debbie Downer. But no. But yeah, I totally get down. It's hard to get out of bed, but I don't know, something about having like fire under my ass with it's almost like when people talk about the not being able to go outside. It's not that you go outside a lot. If you do, it's just the option.
Yeah.
And for me right now, I'm like, death is so close to me all the time because of depression. Like, I always feel like this is the end, and this is why I overshare, and this is why I overtalk. But it also helps me build relationships like ours. You know, if I hadn't been the oversharing chatty bitch that I was, we probably would have never talked as much. You know what I mean? Like, our genres didn't overlap, man. You know what I mean? I didn't even have a genre. You know what I mean? I had like maybe 5 failed radio shows that I started, and then
I just think it was college.
Well, no, because then the times I would either give my slot away, because I felt bad having a slot and being the manager, or because of college, or because I was commuting.
Right.
So yeah, no, I am open with it. I'm going to take that as a compliment, as giving good faith, but not allow myself too much. You know what I mean? To enjoy that too much, because that's also not good for depression.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you mentioned, because I think it's super interesting, because you mentioned that, well, it's something that I've heard a lot of people mention, that, you know, part of it is the 9-to-5 lifestyle, that like, I'm doing this, and what am I doing? So
yeah,
what was it? I thought this was interesting too. What was it that clicked where you said, I can't do this no more?
So I was an administrative assistant. I had one of those miscellaneous jobs. I posted about it, and I joke about it, where I'm like, I was basically a human binder. You know, one of those people has a bunch of miscellaneous jobs and you don't know what she does exactly, but you know she does some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. And even before I had asked to work from home, because I feel like I function better, you know, with less elements or people or whatever. So when this whole virus thing hit, I kind of had like a passenger side view to it, and saw it unfold, and got to overhear stuff, and it was just like the ghost sees things and hears things, and I'm like, oh shit, this is legit. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. What do you mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I started learning so much about it. And as dumb as it sounds to admit, like I am reading so much more now about microbiology, like autoimmune disease. And the breaking point was when I was scheduled off to have a show on the 27th, and I took the day off anyway because that was like peak Rona times for me at the hospital. And I was just like, I need to not be here. Like, it was just so anxiety inducing being there. Like, I worked in the inpatient lab as the administrator, as one of their assistants, like administrative assistants. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't really need to be there because my work kind of stopped. Research was kind of at a standstill, which is what the brunt of my work, because everything was COVID related. And since I wasn't in patient care or anything that was connected to it, I really was kind of just like a sitting duck, you know? So, that weekend, I made sure that I was not thinking about the virus, if that makes any sense. Like, I try to take as much time to do what I wanted to do, which is like write and work on material. And that's when I was like, you know what? Some of these videos that I've been working on, let me just put out some clips. I put out some clips. I got some good feedback. I actually had views. Like, I was just inspired, you know? And I logged into my work email, and then it got really, really real. Like, there were a lot of moments that were a little too real for me when I was there. And it became where I was just like, you know what? Is this paycheck even worth it? And that joke is real that I posted, where I'm like, you know what? The average COVID case costs $1,300 for a healthy person. I don't even have $36 to my name. Like, I can't even afford to get sick. And it's funny, but it's true. And I log into my work email, and then I see you're now required, like all employees are required as of Monday or whatever, to wear disposable masks. And then they had all these instructions on how to reuse your mask, and it was just way too much for me. I was like, this is, because they keep saying this is what you signed up for, and I was like, I didn't sign up for this, man. I just want to pay for my weed nuggets and my chicken nuggets, and I like telling my jokes at night, and that's it. That's all I want, you know. And this is too much. And if someone sneezes on me, or apparently if I breathe, my mouth's open and a particle passes by, because we're living in a live action magic school bus, I guess. And I did ask one of the microbiologists, I'm like, would you say that this is like live action school bus? And then she was like, I wouldn't use those words, but yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's scary. And when I saw the mask,
Shout
yeah,
out
when I
to
saw the mask,
Frizzle.
shout out to Miss Frizzle. I'm saying we need her. We really need her. Like, I feel like she would go in there. I feel like this would be the Corona episode, would be the comeback episode for Magic School Bus, where Arnold finally stays home
Yes.
and he was like, bitch. And then Arnold was the OG stay at home dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we're not talking about him more. Like, I feel like he would be on camera right now. He probably grew up to be Bill Burr. Like, Bill Burr was like, I told you to stay
I
home.
told you
But
it's only a matter of time.
only a matter of time. But yeah, once I saw that email, I was just like, this is a little bit too real. And I'm out. And I called in on Monday because I was like, I don't want to make rash decisions again, because I do make rash decisions sometimes. And I was like, let me think this through. I talked with the right people in my life. I love when you make decisions and people ask you, like, oh my gosh, like they ask you the dumbest questions. I don't know if you ever quit a job like that, but they ask you the dumbest questions, like, are you going to get another job? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I love answering like this, just to throw them off now, because before I used to get so worked up that I used to give myself heartburn. But now I'm just like, oh my, Oh my gosh, I forgot. I have to look for another job. Oh no. Oh no, I didn't even think of that. And they're just like, you bitch. And I'm like, why would you ask me?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys go to funerals and ask them, you know, are you sad?
Yeah,
What kind of
obviously.
question is that?
You
Obviously, of
so
course
you
I
you
did.
your approach is to kind of just gas up the troll then just be.
My approach was just like, yo, I won't have, like, it won't matter. This paycheck won't matter if I get sick.
Right.
And also people are like, you could survive it. And I'm like, that's a high risk.
Yeah.
You're assuming a lot about my immune system and about the like, there are healthy people that drop dead. I don't, and if I'm gonna be a comedian about it, I don't know if my life is gonna choose COVID-19 to be like, hey, what's up, Delmi? Remember how you grew up in the back of the yards, couldn't dance your way out, and now you're a stand-up comedian and you were a 32-year-old virgin and you're broke as hell? Well, guess what? You're gonna survive COVID without any sort of repercussions, only on your wallet.
Yeah.
And I'm no, I don't want to get sick. So the decision was easy once I made it that way.
Yeah. I mean, you
Yeah.
gotta break it down into what's really important to you. And I think a lot of
I
people.
still got shit for it though. I still got shit for it though.
Really?
Yeah, I've gotten shit for it from like people in my life though. Like it's like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And you have nothing to fall back on. And a lot of people are doing like things they don't want to do. And I'm like, what is this? Like date rape 101? Like what? I don't have to do anything I don't want to do.
How much of it do you think is just because people don't understand anything else? Like this is, you know, they've only worked, and especially in the Midwest, like that's what you do. It's blue collar. You work, and then until you can't work anymore, and then you, I don't know, retire and garden or something like. But that's what you do is you work.
Yeah. I also think it's the martyr mentality that people have too. Because one of those criticisms came from like a former coworker. So, but I'm like, that's an isolated incident and it's also stressful times. It's stressful times too.
I'm kind of glad. Like one good thing about social media, specifically with Twitter, is that you see conflicting viewpoints all the time. It's something that may be more like the popular mainstream thing. It's so easy to create a narrative when you have TV on your side. So if you want everybody to repeat something, whether it's true or not, you just want the narrative to get out there. Somebody on TV say it two or three times, and it becomes a thing. And so, like the rhetoric of all these heroes, your hero for going to work and your essential employee, and I saw a couple tweets like alluding to this, like, yo, I don't want to be a hero. A, I didn't sign up for that, and B, if I'm really gonna be a hero out here, then pay me like it. What you're doing is you're exploiting the fact that I'm going to work for less than what I deserve, and then trying to trade feel good points and maybe some people going to their balcony and applauding for me at 7 o'clock versus just paying me what you should pay somebody who's putting their life on the line. And
Or protect them as
or
they
nothing
deserve.
else, protect them, then say, hey, look, here's what you need. Here's the stuff that you need to make sure, which is crazy because it, can you imagine if we had CPD going out with no vests, like how long would that? You would never see that. You would never see, and cops don't even get shot. They don't even get, it's the numbers are ridiculously low. I think there's only, I think until recently, there had only been like two cops killed in the line of duty in Chicago since like in the last 10 years, but they all got vests, and you can't get the protective equipment that physicians need. That's insane. That the people in the lab, you don't have the stuff that they need, that nurses need. That's insane.
It's shameful to me. To me, it's shameful. To me, it's shameful the fact that like this is coming from the same society. Like the other day, I had such a moment where I was like on YouTube, and it was a house tour that had been like uploaded within the week, and it was almost hitting 1 million views. And I was like, really? Are we still giving more time to like this gluttonous greed, you know what I mean? Not to get all like that, but it's like, okay, let's put our money You know what I mean? Where we can show it now. Like, let's get nurses and doctors and hospital workers, people who work in the cafeterias and the cafes. Like, there's so much that goes into a hospital, so many people that go into a hospital. And you're right, there are lots of people who are like, I don't want to be here. Like, I had coworkers who didn't want to be there, who were like, yo, I'm young, I'm scared, I have a mortgage, I have payments due, like, I want to stay home. And they were getting to the point where some were deciding to stay home. I had, you know, there's pregnant coworkers, there were coworkers who were in the COVID, you know, target range, that were doing jobs that were just exposing them by just being there. Like, it was, I don't know. I judge no one for staying and no one for leaving, you know?
Yeah, everybody's situation is different, of course. Like, you gotta play for what you feel like is best for you. But it's crazy that to be put in that situation in the first place, when the so-called richest company in the history of the world, like, that's, or richest country in the history of the world, that's insane that we just don't have the basic stuff. But
they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. And there's so much psychological damage that's going to can't happen from it. It's like we were talking about, bigger picture. We focus on the smaller picture. Like, we focus on, like, well, everyone's online, I'm competing with everyone. Look at the bigger picture. Advertising, TV, film, it's about to take a whole new face right now.
Yeah.
Like, small picture. Oh, I can't see my friends right now. Oh, what about baseball? What about the future? You want to ever go to see a baseball game? You know, it's like bigger picture. You always have to see things bigger in order to remind yourselves of how small we actually are. Hey, man, I, to be honest, man, that's my natural accent, but, like, my manager told me, like, hey, Dami, don't be a stereotype, you know? So I shot him because I would have stabbed him, but I don't want to fulfill a stereotype, you know? Thanks for letting me share this side of me.
Thanks for sharing it. I think there's, for real, like, there's a lot of, I know you may not think this because, you know, you're you, but I mean, you are quiet. You're quiet until you're not. And then you, like, that's always been, you know, I don't even remember when it was, but it was like 2 years in before I was like, oh shit, she be saying shit. And actually, she kind of a smart ass. Like, it was one of those things, like, it wasn't early.
That was after you hit on me in the nicest way. That was after. I remember. Do you remember?
What are you talking about? Like, what specific?
You remember? I remember. It was so nice. You were so nice too. I think that's when you were like, all right, this chick's a little crazy. You said something like, 'cause I took over for Matt, and you said something like, oh, you're a much easier manager to look at than Matt, or something well, like that. You said something like that. And I was like, oh, he was nice about it. He's still reading the room. And at the time, like I said, I'm like, I didn't understand reading the room, but I was still, you know what I mean? I was always gauging energy. And I was like, you know what? That was nice. That was nice. And I respected that. And now that you said you were quiet until you weren't, and you were kind of a smart ass, like, I have always been. I just wasn't sure if I could, you know, let it out.
Yeah.
If you guys were going to be okay.
And you know what? If I haven't learned anything else, I've learned that it doesn't really matter if everybody else is going to be okay. You got to do it so you're okay.
Yeah. And end days. I feel like that's why end days has brought that out too, because people are like, oh, you're like this? And I'm like, no, I am like this. I'm just finally letting you in.